Well, gosh, I know there's quite a few watching at home. I've been able to say hello to you, but hello to everyone who's been able to come today. This is the second week in a series we're calling The Story. Last week, Pastor Kevin took us through the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And if you missed last week, let me just give you a real quick recap. God's vision was to come down and be with us in a beautiful garden. The first two people reject God's plan, escorted from paradise, sin enters humanity and keeps us from relationship with God. So here's what the story is all about. The very next thing that happens is that God gives a promise and launches a plan to get us back. The rest of the Bible is actually God's story, God's promise that He makes it possible for us to have a relationship with Him. And what I love about this, there are so many people who've bought the story. It's a book that we have out in the entryway. And by the way, the person who wants that book at home, we'll deliver that to you this week. No problem with that. So it's the very next thing that happens, Genesis chapter 12, or I think it's page 13 in your storybook, we have the introduction of Abram. Abram and Sarai, who become Abraham and Sarah. God changes their name. So if I call them Abraham, I'm so used to saying Abraham that I don't say the other way. So here it goes. Genesis chapter 12 says this, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the people of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So God says, I'm going to make a great nation. God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. Abraham, all the nations are going to be blessed through you. God's going to use this new nation to reveal His plan and win us back. Now, as I read these couple of verses, I have some problems. Abraham, pack up and move. Where? I'll show you when you get there. I mean, think about that. We were on a flight this week. I can't imagine just going to the airport and, you know, Sharon and I look at each other, where do you want to go? I don't know. Let's just take that one. I mean, God, wait. Pack up and move. And by the way, I'm going to make you a super great nation, so start having babies. All right, no offense to anyone 75 years old or older, but I think they may not even survive the trip, let alone at 75 years old go, it's a great day to start having babies and populate an entire nation. That's a problem. But here's what you need to understand today. You need to get this. When God speaks, it's a fact. It won't change. It's going to happen. When God speaks His word, it is a fact. Isaiah records it like this. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So even though I go, God, yeah. Hey, I want you to move. Where? I don't know. I'll tell you when you get there. And by the way, when you get there, start having babies. It sounds crazy. But when God speaks, it's an absolute fact. It's not going to change. It's going to happen. So if we story forward into the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the faith chapter. It's a chapter that speaks to those of old who had faith just strong and deep, and Abraham's one of those. This is what it says. By faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. It's one thing for God to speak and it's a fact. It's another thing for humanity to have faith and to do what God says. I mean, that took a lot of trust in the Lord. 75 years old, God says, pack up and move. And Abraham did it. Took a lot of trust, and he did it perfectly. So now you would assume, because of this fact of God and the faith of Abraham, that everything would be perfect, kind of like a Hallmark movie. I shouldn't say this, but I'm thankful Christmas is over. We watched a lot of Hallmark movies. Some were even so bad that Sharon said, do you mind if we don't watch this? And I'm like, oh, it hurts my heart to turn this off. Can we watch? Okay. But I mean, if for Abraham and Sarah, it's like a perfect Hallmark movie. They did what God wanted. Everything was a success. They even started a moving company because it was just all good. This is not what happened. It's not what happened. It's the opposite. If you've read through the second chapter of the story, Abraham and Sarah experienced a famine and they had to move again. And then circumstances caused them to separate from the family that moved with them. I don't know if this was the hardest of all, but I kind of think it was. God promised a child. It's been 24 years. Nothing. How do you build a nation without one child? Now they're 89 and 99 years old. They come to your office for counseling. What do you say? Just keep trying. Attaboy, Abraham. I know it's been 25 years, but keep at it. This is the dilemma that we all have. No matter what, God's word is fact, it's going to happen. But then there's that faith step. Has God ever asked you to do something? You're like, nah, I don't know. Because sometimes we have to, hasn't, I don't know how real your faith is. Because sometimes we have to step out in faith and then God's going to honor us. But we're like, no, God, let me get the plan set up. Okay, I've got it calculated. So God, if you don't kind of do it, I think, you know, I've got a backup plan. Have you had that sinking feeling before? Hey, God, we're 89 and 99. It's just kind of hard. Have you at any time waited for prayer to be answered? And you're just not feeling it because it seems like you prayed, and then after you prayed, it seems to be worse now than it was before you prayed. And you say, God, are you really true? When you answer and it's a fact, is it really a fact? I know this much. Even if we believe that God only speaks truth, even if we have faith to obey God and not waver to the left or to the right, we still have to deal with our feelings. And when our tank is empty, I don't care who you are. It's not easy. And the same is true for Abraham and Sarah. Sarah, after all these years, she said, I'm done. Enough is enough. Couple of decades. So Sarah decides, I know a little better than God, so I've got a plan. Abraham, I have this servant, a maid servant, and you're going to populate the nation through her. Sarah says to Abraham, I'm old. She's your best shot. Well, Bible's real clear. So Abraham has sexual relations with Hagar, and she becomes pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. So Sarai says to Abraham, this is all your fault. I was like, okay, time out. I'm trusting God. You're not. You say, I've got a backup plan to God's real plan. And now it turns into a mess, and it's my fault. Do you see what happens when we try to help God? Have you ever tried to help God? Oh, God, I can help you. Well, then it gets to be a problem. This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Man, that's a tough place to be. And, you know, I'll say it this way, Sarah, maybe let's add your name or add my name. Sarah, maybe you don't realize that God doesn't need your help. God's word is a fact. I don't care how we feel. And I know there's times that God has spoken to me and it's made no earthly sense. And I obeyed against all odds and God delivered. Now, I'm not a person who says a whole lot of times, God said this. I hold that in high regard and with an extreme amount of reverence. I've met too many people who, oh, the Lord told me this. And I'm like, no, he didn't. You know, that's a pretty big trump card. The Lord said to do this. Well, what do you say to that? Okay. And then those same people, God changed his mind like 3 months later. I'm like, did God tell you to do that? And then he was like, just kidding. This is what I told you to do. I've met people who've done that for 30 years. No. But God does speak. And if you really want to follow God and you really want to have a mature faith, there's a time in your life where you have to step out. You have to step out of your comfort zone and actually trust him. No matter how you feel, there are times we have to follow, no matter what. The Lord speaks to them again, because did they really understand it clearly the first time in Genesis chapter 18? Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such a pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also old? Basically, she's saying, we're like 100 years old. This is not going to happen. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Sarah laughs at the word of the Lord, and God knew it. Sarah, you can trust the supernatural power of the Lord. Those at home, you can trust the supernatural power of the Lord. Those in the building, you have to at some time in your life learn to trust the supernatural power of the Lord. This has been probably one of Hope Church's greatest years financially. And we don't beg for money. But there were some years ago where it was really hard. And I remember that's when the Lord told me to build 10 buildings in India, build 10 churches. And I've told you this before, it was a crazy thing to do. The church was having hard times. I hadn't had a raise for a long time, and I wasn't whining about that, but the Lord said to do this. And I told the elders, and like, Jim, I don't know if this is a good idea. I said, well, here's the bottom line. I'm going to go sell some of my stuff. And I took all my bow hunting stuff, and I went over to a place by our house, invited guys outside to look at things in my truck, and I sold all of it. They're like, what are you doing, selling all this stuff? I'm like, oh, I'm going to build churches in India. And they're like, you're an idiot. I'll buy that, though. And you know what? The Lord blessed that. And we've built 10 churches in India. Now, it's not any big deal about me, but at some point, you got to step up. You got to live your faith. You can't just talk about your faith. A couple of years ago, the Lord said, hey, we're going to start another church. And I told Pastor Bill at that time, you can pick anyone you want in the congregation. Don't pick our elders. They kind of picked, and some of it hurt. And we paid their salaries and kind of thought, you know, their church would still be tithing to Hope, and they didn't. And our region said, hey, here's $30,000 to help you. And I felt like the Lord said, Jim, give that to them. And I did. And I remember in our elder meeting when we were $30,000 in the red. And they're thinking, wow, Jim, what a great job. And I'm thinking, I know, I hope my next church will love us because I think I'm done with this one. I just killed it. And then there's God. And then there is God. We sent out those people. You know, we didn't have a worship leader. We didn't have a youth pastor. Didn't have a kids person. They all went. And I was so excited that we didn't give them the leftovers. We gave them the best. And then there's the reality of like, oh, great. And then God raised up Amanda, who loves on our kids. Do you know that Amanda hasn't been in a church service for a year and a half? Never once in here. You know why? Because she's committed to loving on our kids. Truth is, I think it might not be a bad idea for her to be in here once in a while. But guess what? I mean, some of us need to help out. I'm not condemning anybody today. She loves it and she's growing in God. God brought us Pastor Zach. And we had no money to pay him. Literally. We said, God, we're going to trust you. You don't owe us anything. We're just trying to be obedient. We have more money in the bank today than we ever have. Now, I'm not saying that Hope Church is rich. Not at all. But compared to being 30-some thousand upside down, when you have a balance, that's looking pretty good, right? Right? I mean, at home, if you're, you know, 5,000 upside down, doesn't $100 in the bank on the positive side look real good? Absolutely it does. But what I'm trying to tell you is this is what faith is. God, I'm going to trust you. I don't even see it. But I'm going to step out in it. And that's what Abraham did. I mean, think about this. Faith in God 25 years after God made the promise to them. I mean, if God doesn't answer our prayer in 25 minutes, like, God, where are you? Okay, I got a backup plan. Got a backup plan. 25 years before Abraham would hold Isaac in his arms. And the scripture tells us that Abraham didn't waver in his faith. During these 25 years, his faith actually grew. What? Sometimes hard times are the right times for you to grow in your faith. I don't like hard times. I don't like hard times for me. I don't like them for you. But sometimes hard times are the right times because we've got to grow deeper in the Lord. I love this. It's the bottom of page 15 in your book, but Romans chapter 4, it says this. I love this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. If that's not powerful, I don't know what is. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Here's the rub for us. If you want to grow in God, it's going to take your time, it's going to take your talents, and it's going to take your treasures. If you have no time for anything of the Lord, you're not growing. You're just not. It's just the truth. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. If I have no time for the things of God, I cannot grow in the Lord. God has given you talents, and if you only use them for the world, you're not going to benefit the kingdom of God, and you're not going to grow in God. It's just how it is. You've got to give some time to the Lord. And you've got to use your talents for the Lord. Well, what am I supposed to do? You beg me for something to do and I'll find it. I'm not going to babysit and say, well, here, you know, can I get you to work 1 hour a year for God? It's ridiculous. The church has become this, you know, coddling little catering. You know, if you want a friend here at Hope Church, then be friendly. Ask someone out. Take some of your time for the things of the God. God has given you talents. But we don't believe he did. We don't believe that God could use us. Well, I didn't believe it either. I didn't believe God could ever use me. Ever. And yet he has. Not because of me, but because of him. And I would say the difference between me and some people is that I'm crazy enough to believe that God's word is fact. And I'm crazy enough to believe if I step out in faith, that God's going to honor it. Does it mean I haven't been shaky in my boots and, you know, when I have to report to the elders, we're $30,000 upside down, that's like a fun time for me? No. But I want to grow in my faith. And I want you to grow in your faith. But it's got to cost you something. It's got to cost you in your time and your talents and your treasures. And if you never give anything to the work of the Lord, you're not mature. You're just not. And you're not experiencing the blessings of the Lord. I've been a pastor a long time. And this is what I know. People, and again, this is the best year that Hope Church has ever had. So there's no underlying motive. I know this. People who are givers are people who have been given more. People who are givers, people who understand the principle of tithing. It's a powerful principle. God can do way more with my 90%, way more than I can do with 100%. A lot of people struggle their whole lives with their finances because they don't trust God. And I know this. Should I tithe and not pay my bills? No. I tithe and I'll never have trouble paying my bills. And I also live responsibly. The average American spends 105% of what they make. No wonder we're in trouble. You want to be financially secure? Here's how to do it. Give God 10, save 10, live on 80. Period. That's how we've lived our lives. Doesn't matter how much we make or how little we make. And God has blessed us. All right, here's what I'm telling you. Abraham, you're an old man. Sarah, you're an old lady. And yet God's word was true to them. And he blessed them. It's so powerful. God not only blessed him, he said, Abraham, I want to use you up here. But I've got to give you one more test to see if you're going to be worthy of it. All right, I'm going to park one more second here and say, I don't care who you are, hope at home, hope here. God's not disappointed in you. He's not disappointed in you, but I think he could be disappointed for you. How many have done the Sarah thing? God, I'll work it out. I'll figure it out. How many have said, I'm not going to do it. No, I can't. It doesn't make sense in my head. And God says, you don't understand. I've got a blessing to pour out upon you, and you're holding it back. I love you so much. I've got a plan for you. I know that life gets hard. I've got a plan for you. I believe that God can be disappointed for us when we choose not to obey. But the entire story is set up to bring you home, bring you back. God tells you, I love you. God tells you, I care so much about you. But I'm telling you what, you think it was a step of faith to wait 25 years to have a kid? You think it's a step of faith to move when you're 75? This is like beyond comprehension. In Hebrews 11, it records this. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. So here's what happens. Abraham has a son, Isaac. And God says, I gave you this son. Now I want you to take this son and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Abraham brings a couple of servants, brings his son, bottom of the mountain. Servants, you stay here. I'm going to take my son. Here, son, get this wood. We're going to take it up. We're going to have sacrifice. Going up the mountain, Isaac says, hey, Dad, I love you so much. I'm missing something here. Where's the lamb? What would you do? I'm going to turn around and go back down that mountain. And Abraham, I can't imagine he didn't have tears in his eyes. Knowing what he has to do, his son's not like a little infant at this time. His son's older, maybe a teenager. And Abraham walks him up that mountain, says, hey, Isaac, I need you to lay down up here. Why, Dad? Oh, because you just do. Dad, why are you putting these ropes around me? Whole way up the mountain, Abraham has to be crying. Waited 25 years to hold that sweet baby. And God says, Abraham, I have so much more for you, but I've got to see if you're going to be able to handle it. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Do you understand this? When God speaks, it's a fact. Abraham, you're going to have a kid. And through that kid, I'm going to bless the world. So Abraham, because he trusted him in the beginning, he's going to trust him now. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Abraham has his son tied on the altar, raises a knife, and God says, stop. And there is a ram in the thicket. There are times when God says, I want you to be willing, but he's not going to ask us to do something outside of his will. There are times when we have to step out in faith and it seems very difficult, but God's word is a fact. And if you want to grow in God, you have to live by faith. But if you're going to live by faith, you've got to figure out how to deal with your feelings. Right? When God said to build these churches, and I said, God, I don't have any money. And he said, sell your hunting stuff. And I said, God, do you know how much that cost? He said, I know how much you told your wife it costs. I'm like, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Okay, I'll sell it. Jim, plant a church. What do you mean? We're finally getting to that place where we're growing, and there was a possibility sooner we could have gone to two services. God said, you gonna trust me? I'm gonna trust you. This hurts, God, at Hope. Because we still have friends at Canvas. We love them. They love us. But it was a step of faith. And then God said, not only do I want you to step out, I want you to give them $30,000 in a check. Don't even look at the check, Jim, because I know you're going to want to cash it. And I'm like, you're right. Anyone would want to cash it. And we handed that to them on this very platform. Truth is, a little bit of my heart sank because I thought, Lord, I'm just obeying you. I have no idea how this is going to work. Well, God severely tests Abraham in Genesis 22, and Abraham responds, and God blesses him. Don't miss this part of what I'm telling you. Centuries later, there was another son offered. His name was Jesus. But nobody took him off of the place to be sacrificed. That's the story. That's the story. Adam and Eve had the choice to sin, and they did like we do at times, and they sinned. And then the story of God's plan all throughout the Bible, you're going to see this woven back and forth. That's a story of redemption. This is why I'm telling you, God's not disappointed in you. He let his son die for you. He wants you to bring you back. But do you think that he could be disappointed for you? Because you can in your mind say, this is a time when I knew I could have stepped up and instead I just stayed comfortable. I knew it's a time I could have stepped out and instead I just... You know, I've never been good at anything, so, you know, God, you can't use me. And we step back. I'm not putting people down at home. You cannot fulfill God's plan for your life on the couch for a couple of years. Just being honest. It's people who need to know Jesus, people who are desperate for Jesus. And it's not going to work at home on your couch. I need you. I need you to hug me. I need to hug you. We need to pray for each other. Now, I get it. If you have COVID, you're sick, you're I get it. You need to stay home. I'm not putting anybody down, but I'm telling you the truth. We can't stay at home for 3 years and expect to fulfill God's plan on our life. Some point, we've got to step out. We've got to step up. We've got to keep doing what God wants us to do. These are hard times, really hard times. We have great people at Hope who are sick. Some of our fathers at Hope, Annie Mormon, went to be with the Lord this year. Verl Stearns went to be with the Lord this year, this week. I know it's hard, but it was hard for Abraham. Prayed for 25 years. God, are you going to do what you said? And God did. Now, you can be mad at me if you want to, every one of you, but I'm telling you the truth. God's word is fact. And sometimes you've got to step out in faith. And in order to step out in faith, you've got to deal with your feelings. I loved Amanda's prayer. God, give us hope. We're terrified. Nobody wants to go out. Nobody wants to do anything. We're terrified. I love that prayer. We don't have to be terrified. We have to be smart. I'm not telling anybody to do something that's not smart. But we've still got to be believers. We've still got to trust in the Lord. God won us back to Him at a great price. His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, let me wrap things up. I wrote this down. Application. You know what that means? That means where the rubber meets the road and the life begins to move. Application. I don't know why I wrote that. I just wrote it. Application. Choosing Abraham and Sarah to begin a new nation. Unlikely people who were too old and not very qualified. But they trusted God. Feel like you're a little bit, how can God use you? You're just the one He wants to use. I say all the time, God, how can you use me? I'm a big nothing. But God can take a big nothing and do something. And I'd rather He would do something through me than nothing, just because I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was qualified enough. I didn't think I had what it took. I mean, come on, friends. When we first started dating, I remember Sharon's family, they caught me in a dumpster down the street from their house. I'm like, there's some good stuff in there. I was digging stuff out of the dumpster. I was so excited, and she drove by with her mom. I was waving like I was happy. Never thought her mom would think, there's no way you're going to date that guy. I planned to be a carpenter, planned to be a mailman. That was my life. And God said, I've got something different for you. So I went into, studied business, and God said, I don't want you in business. I want you to be in my business. God, I'm big nothing. How can you use a guy like me? Well, it's 30-some years later, and God still is using a guy like me. Not because Jim Brewer's anything great, it's because God is great. And we have used our time for the Lord. We have used the little talents that we have for the Lord. We have used our treasures for the things of the Lord. And I don't think He's disappointed in me. I think He could be disappointed for me because I'm sure there's a lot more I could have done. But I still have time, and so do you. All right. God chooses ordinary people like you and me. You're not disqualified to be used greatly in God's great story. I want you to reflect on those three words this week. Do you see this as a fact? The world is trying to tell us that it's not a fact right now. The world's trying to tell us you can't trust this. Trust science. Trust this. Trust that. I'm going to trust this. My God is alive. My God is going to complete what he says in here. My God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and he has one for your life. Reflect on the fact of God's word. And then what have you done lately in faith? What have you done lately that's made you a little bit uncomfortable? Maybe it was driving here today. It was fun getting out of my driveway. You know, slid down. I thought, that's kind of fun. Kind of looked behind me, seeing where I was going to end up. What have you done in the last 5 years that required a big step of faith? That's all I'm asking you to think about that. And then how do you deal with your feelings? Just like I have to. Got a backup plan for everything? Got a backup plan for not tithing and trying to use all the money that you think you can do better than God? Got a backup plan for eternity? You plan to go to heaven? You trust Jesus that when you breathe your last breath, you're going to be in heaven, and yet you don't trust him here on earth? That seems strange, right? All right, my final sentence, unless I have another one. Today, God is still working his plan. I want to, and I hope you want to be part of that story. Oh, you have so much more to offer than I do. But I may have one thing that you don't. And it's that I'm going to trust him even when I don't see it. I'm going to step out even when it's super uncomfortable. I'm going to hold on come hell or high water when things feel hard. And I can promise you in 30 some years of pastoring, I have never seen God fail me. I have failed God many times. He has never failed me. He's not going to fail you, and he's not going to fail you at home. But there comes a point we got to step up, we got to step out, we got to do what God wants us to do. Because all eternity is at stake. All eternity for some people. And he wants to use you, and he wants to use me to be part of that story. All right, let's pray together. God, I thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you that we see in the Bible real life. We see Abraham who trusted. That's great. But then the rest of us are probably a whole lot more like Sarah. God, and we say that you didn't say it. And then you speak into our life and you say, I did say it. You just didn't believe me. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would have faith to trust you, that we would have faith to obey you. God, that you would help us to deal with our feelings. Some of us right now have prayed and it just seems like it's worse. And we're going to choose to trust you. God, I pray for everyone here today that they feel your love. You let your son die for them. That's how much you care. This is the story. God's redemptive plan. God, bless them. Help them to see that you love them and that you have a plan for them. It doesn't matter if they're wounded. It doesn't matter if they're broken. It doesn't matter if they're inadequate. You took a motley crew of followers and turned them into warriors. Spiritual giants. God, I pray that we would trust you above our feelings, above the news, above the science, above any of that. God, thank you for all those things. I love it all. But not when it conflicts with you. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us if we've never received Jesus Christ. Help us, God. Help us to confess our sins because you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, and you have a plan for our life. Help us who've been Christians for a while not to just settle. Help us, Lord, to continue to be hungry. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Thanks for being here today. I'll look for you on Wednesday night.